Let's turn to the book of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6. Be reading the book of John chapter 6, 1 through 14, then I'm going to go to back to John chapter 1. But John chapter 6, and verse 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain. And there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworths of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much And there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and his disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise other fishes. And much as they would, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remain over and above them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophets that should come unto the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark. And Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 and or 30 furlongs, they were there. They see Jesus walking on the sea, and they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." Then they willingly receive him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. We're seeing right here a whole lot about what Jesus really done in the few verses that I've read. We're seeing the miracle of Jesus. We're seeing the feeding of the 5,000 plus, because it says about 5,000. Not only do we see that, but we can also see the handiwork that was going to go on before and after they left where they was at. And they was at the place of rest. They was at the place to where they got nothing but rest. And they was in dire need of rest. You know something? We are in dire need of rest too. But we are in dire need of rest in the Lord and nothing else. But we must rest ourselves in him. In him alone must we rest. It says, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." We're saying right here is we need to go out into the world and we need to grab a hold to the fragments, to the people that's out here, that's downtrodden, that is out, that's hurting, that is burdened down, and they don't know which way to turn anymore. There's a whole lot of people that they don't know how to turn, they don't know which way to go no more. And they looking for answers. And they're not just looking for answers, they looking for people that will love them, I believe. Because you know yourself, there's a whole lot of people I hear that know the word love, but they don't know the proper love. And that's the agape love. The agape love that can only come from God. Over here in chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, which was God the Father, and the Word was with God." The second word right there says "with God." That means the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was with him. And it says then, "And the Word was God." That is, you see the Trinity of God right there. You see the three aspects right there, which represents the Trinity of God, which represents the triune life of God. And we must remember that no one can ever go to the Lord without the presence of the Holy Spirit in convicting thy heart and convicting thy soul. And even with that, when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit introduces them to the Lord, yes, all they have to do is just pray. And if they pray, and if they ask for forgiveness, and tell God that they've sinned against him, but they want something new. And if he saves thy soul, then what happens? The Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he turns to the Father, which is there in heaven, at right hand of God the Father, and he says, Father, forgive them. Now they're one of ours. They just got saved. They just believed and trusted in me. But they believed and trusted in me through you. Because you are the great I am. I am not the I am, and I am not the great I am. But you are God the Father. He's the great I am. And he's the one that said there in the book of Genesis that he did not create hell for no one but Lucifer, Satan, and his angels after he threw them out of heaven. He didn't create hell for you. He didn't create hell for me. He didn't create hell for my brother that will not accept him as a Lord. He didn't create hell for him. He didn't create hell for no one else. They can be out here. They can be abusing the Lord and be calling him names and everything. And they can be calling the Holy Spirit names. And they can be calling the Son of God names. But I'll tell you what. He still did not create hell for that individual. Hell was not created for man. Because see, man, every living soul that has been born and birthed into this world has the breath of God in them. Because God breathed life into our soul. And Jesus Christ, what did he do? He went to Calvary. And he shed his blood for my sins and for your sins and for the world's sin. But where does life really come from? Life comes from the blood. The life of a Christian comes from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where does the life come from for the wicked individual out here? The lost. It comes from the breath of God, because God breathed into them the nostril of life. But they don't really know the true meaning of what really life is all about. The same was in the beginning with God. Everything from Genesis to the book of Revelation, anything in here mentioned, it was in the beginning. It was all there with God. It says the same was in the beginning with God. Nothing else can come about that God does not know about. Because God is all-knowing. He's all-knowledge. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything to you. And we must show our love for that everything. And how do we do that? Share it with sinners. Share it with the non-Christian. If you ever want your life, if you really ever want your life touched by God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, you must be willing to go out and take the frail bodies that we have and share something that we've learned in the day that we're in. That we can give them hope. We can give them some kind of something they can hold on to. Because a whole lot of individuals, they're losing everything. People today, they lose everything. They lose their health. They lose their home. They lose their family. They lose all the wealth. They lose everything that they have. Why? Because of one individual. And you know who he is. That's the devil. That's Satan. It's the same one that was in heaven with God. They wanted everything that God had already created. See, the devil don't want to create nothing because he has to work to do that. And he's not going to jump on to that lost individual. He's not going to jump on to that sinner right here. You know who he's going to jump on? He's going to jump on the Christian. Because see, he knows that's the easiest way that he can go about in deceiving people and coming to church and hearing the message or hearing God's word. He's the only one. Individual is not created that way. Individuals are not created that way to be able to think on their own or even go out and do anything to where they won't be saved. Because it starts all the way at the day of birth. Satan says, oh, that child right there, I know that child right there, right now. If that child, something happens to it right now, and if that child was to die, I know that child's going to heaven because it hadn't reached to the age of accountability. What is the age of accountability? I don't have no idea. The Catholic, they say it's 12 years old. Some of them says it's 12. Some says it's 15. I don't know. But I do know this. I believe it's the age of accountability is when you know the difference between right and wrong. When you can hear something that is right, but then you don't do it. You do something that is wrong. Who puts that in our minds? Who puts that on us? God don't. I don't believe that little small child does either. That goes out here and goes with the mother and the father to Walmart or Kmart or somewhere like that. And then you'll see them go down the aisle and they'll pick up a little toy. Or they'll pick up this or that. They'll bring it back. They'll put it there in the basket. Mama or daddy hadn't seen it. See them put it in the basket. But yet they put it in the basket. See, they didn't ask mama or daddy, would you buy this for me? Can I have this? No. They just assumed. Once they saw it, and once they picked it up, it was theirs. That mama and daddy would get it for them. Whole lot of mama and daddies can't get it for them because they don't have the money. They don't have the means to be able to purchase it for them. But even though if the parents don't have the money and don't have the means to go about to give them, to give the child something that that child don't have, that does not mean that mother and that father don't love that child. Only thing that means is the mother and the father is teaching that child something. That if you're raised right, if you're raised right, if you're raised according to what the Word of God says, then if you ever get in that situation, you won't think about going out here and picking up something and just sticking it in your pocket and try to leave. You won't go out here and try to take something away from somebody else. Like going to them and and open their door and go ahead and rob them or beat them or something like that. You won't do that. Why? Because you're trying to raise them the right way. But Satan, oh man. I'd love to be able to just take a shotgun right now and shoot them right between the eyes. Because he's nothing but a destroyer. He destroys life. He destroys families. He destroys churches. He destroys pastors' lives. He destroys the Christian. See, that's his job. See, his job is to destroy us to where no more will ever get into heaven. See, that's what he's done. But see, God the Father's job is to use us to win people to him. And if we don't go and do our part, now I mean it, if I don't go ahead and do my part, if I don't go ahead and tell somebody about Jesus this week, then I've done nothing. I've done nothing this week. I mean, I've got into the habit all, just about now that when them telemarketers, when they call, matter of fact, I asked one this week. I says, you got a question you want to ask me? Yes, I do. I said, can I ask you a question first? I said, man, I'll let you ask me a question. I said, but I want to ask you a question first. And I knew that either they'd stay on the phone and talk to me about the Lord, or they'd just go on and get off and hang up. And I'd ask them. I said, you're saved. He said, yeah, I go to church. I said, I didn't ask you that if you go to church. I said, I know a whole lot of people go to church. They also go to the ballrooms too. They also run around on their wives. And the wives also run around on their husbands. But I didn't ask you that. I asked you, are you saved? Are you born again? Are you washed in the blood? Click it. But I tell you what. They may not talk to him no more that day. Or even, they probably even got my name down there. I would never want to talk to him. But if he ever called back, then they're going to want to hear something. And I'll tell them again, I don't mind it. Because the Lord Jesus, he didn't mind saving my soul. He didn't mind that I was undone, that I didn't love him, that I didn't even love the church, and I couldn't even be around pastors, and I couldn't be around other Christians. He didn't hold that against me. Only thing he wanted was my inward soul is all he wanted. And he knew if he got a hold to me. And he knows also today, if he gets a hold of that lost individual like that, if he gets a hold of their heart, he's got them. They might as well go on and surrender because they got them. Because I tell you what, when he got a hold of my heart, it didn't take long for me to surrender to him and to just give in and say, God, you're going to have to help me because I don't know nothing about none of this. And he will help us. And I thank God for that. I really do. All things was made by him. All things. That automobile like that we drive. Ain't that all things? It was made by him. Now, you'll have people all with you about this. No, they didn't.
General Motors made my home. They built my car. The people down there, they labored and they built my car. I said, but what you got to realize is, who helped them to get to work that day? Who gave them the knowledge to be able to go in there and do the work, or and give them the strength to do the work? They didn't get it. You cannot muster up enough strength yourself on your own to do anything. Even I hear serving the devil, the Lord still gives us strength, because he wants us to remember where it comes from. So when somebody does come by and witness to him and tell him about his love, that they can understand where his love is really coming from. His love is coming from his heart. It's not coming from his mind. It's not coming from nothing else. It's coming from his heart. Why? Because that's the true love of God that comes from his heart. And when it comes from his heart, then it's going to infect you, and it's going to affect us all. It's going to come into our heart. And when the love, when his love gets into our heart, then what do we have to do? We cannot take that love and store it up. We can't go in there and lock the heart's door and say, well, I ain't going to let nobody else in. I'm not going to love nobody else, because I have all of God's love on me. It's all about me. No, it ain't either. Ain't nothing about you. Ain't nothing about me. It's all about the sinner out there. Why? Because God instills his love in our life. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing, was not anything made that was made. So the people that don't want to believe in God say, well, why are you driving that automobile? Why are you working? If you don't believe in God, if you don't believe that a God exists, well, why are you driving an automobile? They still call it man made. I said, no, man didn't even make it either. Man had a part in it, but also God had the main part in it. And on top of that, if you don't believe in God, then you don't trust God enough to know. You go out there and crank your car. You turn the key. It's going to engage the starter, the battery, the juice from that battery, the power that that battery gives goes to the starter. Then it goes to the generator. Then it starts up. Then you get in your automobile and you get in and you drive it. You didn't go out there and say, well, I'll tell you what, I think I need to go and look in this. Look up under the hood, see if somebody stole my battery last night. While I'm under looking at that battery, I think I might ought to check that starter out. Might ought to check the oil out too.
People say, preacher, you're silly. You're stupid. You're silly and believing that. Why not? What he said right here in John chapter 1 and verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Then they get in the automobile and then they go to work. On their drive from on the south side of Danville, right there where I live at, they'll drive across the highway, they'll cross the road, and they'll get past the traffic. Then the next thing you know, they hit down there
on, oh man, what's it? Down at the, go by the hospital and down there, and then they get to that bridge down there. Have you ever seen somebody just pull over at the bridge and just stop and get out and go down the bank and look at the pillars? That's for what they can see. See if it's any of the pillars that's decayed enough that may would want them to think, well, if I go across that, it may give way on me today. No, we're not going to do that. Why? No one does that. No one does that. The only people that does that is the state inspectors. They will come and they will look at it. But they come and they look at it maybe once a year. But they look at it because it's their job to look at it, to see how safe it is. Well, see, every time we go across it, the Lord tells us the bridge was safe. We'll get to the other side. I've known people that will break down on the bridge. And they would be so nervous. Because here they are. Broke down on the bridge. The car won't go nowhere. And nobody will stop to help them. And the only thing that they can see is water. You know, people are scared of water. People are really scared of water. But the lady at the well, she wasn't scared of the water that Jesus gave her to quench her thirst. She wasn't scared. Why? Because, see, Jesus didn't allow her to get scared. I believe that even when the Lord Jesus confronted her about the man that she was living with that wasn't her husband, and the Lord told her how many husbands she's had before, and how many men that she just went around sleeping with. I don't think the Lord really brought up all of that. I think the Lord was concerned about one thing, her soul. Her soul. Because see, the Lord Jesus, he didn't want her to go to hell. He wanted her to go to heaven. What about the other lady, the one that talks about in the Bible and says, and these men out here getting ready to stone her to death and everything. What did Jesus say unto them? You that have not sinned, you may cast the first stone. That's not the exact words, but what it meant. You can cast the first stone. And if you can't cast the stone, then you must walk away. We can't cast no stones, even today. I can't cast no stones today with the Lord Jesus living in my heart. I can't cast no stones. You know the reason I can't cast that stone? It's because I've never been where she's at. Or I've never been where they have been at. Oh yeah, I was lost. But I have not lost everything that I had. Because when people lose everything they have, when they lose the home, when they lose the jobs, when they lose the wealth, when they lose everything around them, they think that they done lost everything, but they haven't. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, He's right there with you. And that's when we need to put our trust and our faith in Him. Verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Verse 7, "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through Him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." We are not the light, but the Lord Jesus Christ has come into our heart that we may be the witnesses of the true light. That we can go out here and witness to people and tell them about the light. Tell them about the true God in heaven. Tell them about the true Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them about the Holy Spirit of God. Just tell them and don't never be ashamed. If we ever get past that point in our life, we'll get away from the shameness of it. Then we'll go out and we'll talk. We'll talk up the Lord Jesus Christ like we've never had before. But I'm going to tell you, believe it or not, man, if you never went out here, if you never witnessed to somebody and told them about the love of God, if you've never done it, you need to try it. Because I'll tell you the reason why. Because when you do, it may not happen that day, but it'll happen that individual will end up giving in to the Lord. And I promise you with the authority of this word that I'm holding right here in my hand, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, but the last verse in the Bible, on the authority of this Bible right here, the word right here, I promise you, if you ever do that one time, you don't have to worry about you doing it, because you can't do it, but the Lord will use you to get it done. And when you do it, the Lord can't even hold you back from doing it again. You're going to want to say, "Lord, where's somebody? Who do you want me to go visit next?" He will do it. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, God, we ask you that you'll just take what I believe that you gave me this morning. And Father, I pray that you'll take each and every word. You will take it and you will put it in the right order that it needs to be in, that where it will touch the hearts of the people. Father, we all need something from heaven. We need to hear you today from heaven. And Father, it's not like that we're just coming to church just to have church, or just coming to church just to feel what little pews that we can feel. But Father, we come to church because we want to grow in the grace and the knowledge and the truth in the Word of God, to where we can just trust you in going and visiting to the people. That we can trust you, that you will give us the words that you would open our lips and that you would speak through us, that it would penetrate the heart of the people. Father, save that one which is lost today. I do not know who it may be that you want us to witness to. I do not know who it is that you want us to go to. But Father, I'm asking for thy help today for that. Purpose only. That, Lord, you would give me a name. That you would give me somebody. This coming week that I can go and share the gospel to them. And Father, if these individuals here, if they have an individual that's on their heart, that they know that they believe the individual's lost, Father, if it's anywhere at all, I can help them at all. Father, it may be somebody that may know the individual. But Lord, they feel like if they go and they speak to them and talk to them about it, it's just going to turn them away that much. I hope and pray that's not the case. But Father, if it is, I pray. Lord Jesus says they will give me the name of somebody and the address of somebody to where I can go and visit them. And Father, or where I can go, or me and my wife can go and visit them with the individual. Father, that individual won't have to enter hell. Father, we thank you for the message. But most of all, God, I thank you for saving my soul. I thank you for placing me right here at Faith Baptist Church, with, I believe, in my heart, are the finest Christians that I know, because they love you, Father. I know they do. They want to see somebody saved also. And Father, I know, Lord Jesus, we have an upcoming Jubilee. And Father, a Jubilee is not really for where the lost will come in and be saved. It's just that is for the Christians and for the pastors, to where they can be encouraged to keep going on. But Father, if you see fit to where you can bring one into the services. And Father, yes, and they may think that they're saved, but they're truly not. We pray the message will touch their heart in a way that they know that they're not saved. Save somebody. This day, this week, each and every day of this week, save somebody. We pray. Amen and amen. All right.